Fessenden's Follies by David Fenario is a presentation of your local community radio station. Staging and production is sponsored by Save Westmount Park, a Montreal-based community group that is trying to save one of Canada's major heritage parks and beautiful green spaces from the ravages of development and synthetic turf. By Standard Radio, operators of 51 commercial AM and FM radio stations in 29 communities across Canada. By Studio Victor, Canada's most historic recording venue, founded by RCA Victor in the age of Victrola and reincarnated today as a leading studio of choice for North America's top talent. And by RTS Canada, promoting and assisting community broadcasters for over 40 years. For more information on all our sponsors, visit our website at www.fessenden.ca. Fessenden's Follies is a dramatic reading of a work in progress, performed in the same impromptu way that Fessenden conducted his first broadcast. The views expressed in this program are those of the playwright and are not intended to represent the management of this station or our sponsors. A parental advisory: there is occasional use of coarse language. And now, to Studio Victor in Montreal, before a live audience, David Fenario's Fessenden's Follies. Good evening. My name is Patrick Barnard, introducing tonight's program. A salute from Community Radio. For the first time in Canada, 30 stations altogether are joining today for this broadcast event. We are here to celebrate Reginald Fessenden, who 100 years ago became the first to broadcast voice and music using his own invention, radio. His experiment was a Christmas program to ships at sea. Fessenden himself described the program as, first a short speech by me, saying what we were going to do, then some phonograph music. Then came a violin solo by me, which I sang one verse of, in addition to playing the violin, though the singing, of course, was not very good. Then came the Bible text, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill," and we finally wound up by wishing them a Merry Christmas, and then saying that we proposed to broadcast again on New Year's Eve. It was joyously received by ship hands across the Atlantic. It was the first time radio was used to transmit voice and music, radio as we know it. Fessenden's Follies by David Fenario is the story of those times, an age when physicists revolutionized the way we live, when mathematicians created formulas that would change our planet. It is a story about scientists who altered our sense of time, and a story about a man who put progress before profit. It is about men of peace who could unleash forces that could not be contained. And now, Fessenden's Follies.
Okay. I think I got it. Time, space, continuum. Type in the name. Typing in the name. Hello? Fessenden? Hello? I lost. Well, now, let's see if this works. One patat, two patat, three patat, four. Hello? Five patat, six patat, seven patat, more. Hey. Come on in. We're setting up here. Opening night, right? La première pour le grand lancement de Radio Missiquoi. Missiquoi? Qui parle français ici? Lève les mains, hein? Mais français, c'est pas pire pour un bloc québécois, hein? Missiquoi, Missiquoi. Missing a few things. Like enough technicians to help us do the show. We need some volunteers, okay? So I'm going to need some sound effects from you guys, okay? Can you give me a wind? Give me a wind. Come on, it was a dark and stormy night. Okay, now try it with a wave. Now do it in French. That's not bad for a bunch of blokes. Okay, now later when I go storm, you give me storm. And when I go boom, you give me boom. And static, can you give me static? You call it static? Now don't fuck this up because I need a job. Even though I don't know who the hell this guy is, right? Born here in the Lost Nation, Reginald Audrey Fessenden. You never heard of him, right? Fessenden, it sounds like something you do to your teeth. Fessenden and forget it. So anyhow, together with these guys, come out here, guys, we put together this show and tell. Introduce yourself, guys.
I'm Matt Jones.
I'm Sybelle Atoll.
Francis Pellerin.
Scott Kettles.
George Mugius.
I'm Alison Rockbrand.
Barry O'Connell.
And I'm the big beat, Baynard Bates, son of the duck that ate Kuatica. Your host with the most on station in the Lost Nation, 911 on your dial. Going on the air with our special transmitter capable of sending and receiving messages past and present, based on the principle that, hit it, Einstein.
Energy can neither be created or destroyed.
Put a little more sauerkraut in the accent.
Energy can neither be created or destroyed.
So it's all out there, every word that was ever said, anytime, anywhere, just waiting for us to tune into it on this special transmitter. Choosing on this occasion a dark and stormy night. Give me a storm. In 1932, when Reginald Fessenden sits in his study, there he is. Yes?
And here on CBC Evening News, another Canadian soldier killed today in Kandahar province by friendly fire.
Hello?
A guided missile, one of the smart bombs, somehow fired on our convoy of Canadian troopers.
Fessenden?
Prime Minister Stephen Harper said.
Fessenden, can you turn down your radio? Hello? Have we got you at a bad moment?
Maybe if I turn the dial.
No, wait, don't touch the dial. Fessenden, we're losing you.
Who am I losing?
The station in Lost Nation Radio Missikwe.
They got smart bombs in Missikwe?
If they had a bomb in Missikwe, it wouldn't be smart, believe me.
Are you a Yates or a Bates?
Huh?
Well, everybody in the Lost Nation is either a Yates or a Bates.
Never mind that.
Or a Mardi or a Mercredi.
Reggie.
You look like a Bates.
Listen, Reggie, I'm phoning you here from the future.
The future?
The year 2006 to ask you a few questions about your career.
Then I must be dead.
According to my notes, you died this evening in 1932.
I did?
That's what it says.
Heart attack?
Must
have been the heart.
I'll look it up for you.
Okay.
But meanwhile, keep talking, okay? It's a talk show.
Well, I must say I'm rather disappointed, but not that surprised to hear that we're still killing each other en masse in what year?
2006. You died of a heart attack, by the way.
Always was too fond of fried chicken.
So, disappointed, you said, but not surprised.
Yes, because it seems despite our best intentions, humanity in general is reluctant to change.
Especially here in the Lost Nation.
Especially in East Bolton, where I was born.
It's called North Dam de Bolton de Is now.
Oh.
Some things have changed.
Don't tell my mother that.
Your mother, Clementia Treham Fessenden.
I didn't tell you to call her.
Oh, Reginald!
United Empire Loyalist and member of the Anti-Catholic League.
Reginald!
Yes, Mother?
How many times do I have to tell you?
But I just want to know why.
Why?
Things work the way they do.
No good will come out of asking all these questions, Reginald, because questions lead to doubt, and doubt leads to lack of faith, and lack of faith leads to temptation, and temptation leads to sin.
Just do what the Bible says.
Everything is as it should be.
Because everything has been ordained by God.
Amen.
But I just couldn't stop myself from questioning the origins of things like the sound of thunder.
Give me some thunder.
It was back in the summer of 1870. We were invaded by the Fenians.
Give me a boom.
Boom. Boom.
Irish rebels who came up from the States over the border.
Catholic heathens.
Another boom.
Boom! Up the rope with the Pope.
And a battle commenced not too far from Austin.
Another.
Boom! Boom.
Rumors spreading that they were heading our way when a big storm blew up.
A really big boom.
Boom!
And we wondered, were we hearing cannonballs? Or was it thunder rolling down the hills because the Fenians had cut the telegraph wires?
Another.
Boom!
And we went downstairs into the cellar to be safe, and Mother said...
Red General! Never forget that...
I'm losing.
Cannot be trusted.
Shit.
God,
Master?
God save our gracious queen.
Shit.
Long live our no queen. God, God.
Got it. Gone.
You lost the frequency.
Frequency?
You have the calculations?
I just turned the dial.
Then you don't know how this works. You just know how to use it.
Well, yeah.
I'm beginning to understand.
What?
Why there's no spark bombs in Missikoi.
Uh-huh. So there you are, smart guy.
There I am.
You're with your dear old ma in the cellar, and you're hearing something that might be cannon fire.
And that got me thinking about sound. How does it work? For example, if I clap my hands, how does the sound of that clap get from here to here?
Sound waves.
I already had it figured out at the age of 4, listening to the wind, if I can illustrate.
Yeah, sure.
Now let's take these two rocks in a lake. Now, I toss a stone that causes ripples to move across the water from one rock to another in a continuous wave from the transmitter to the receiver and back again, in the same way as lightning causes sound that rolls in waves through the air.
Yeah.
You mean yeah as in obvious?
Yeah.
Not according to Guillermo Marconi, who subscribed to a theory of electric wave telepathy, best described in layman's terms as the transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves in a whiplash effect. But sound doesn't travel like whiplash. It's a constant om.
You give me a flashback.
And that's why Marconi never succeeded in transmitting the human voice, because he kept tripping over the flick of the flack.
Let's see what Guglioli has to say about this. Guglioli. Hey, Marconi. Marconi.
See what I mean?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Da-da. Same to you, Marconi macaroni full of baloney.
So you guys weren't exactly working on the same frequency.
Otherwise, we'd still be broadcasting in Morse code.
But it's Marconi that's known as the father of radio, not you.
He had the monopoly on all broadcasting rights for radio before I had a chance to even get my foot in my mouth. I mean, in the door.
So after you got your foot out of the door in your mouth, what did you do?
Like every other talented person in Canada, I went down to the States.
What was that like?
Well, you can imagine that Mother was not pleased.
You're going to work for the Americans?
She threatened never to speak to me again.
Be gone from this abode!
But we never spoke anyhow, so...
Reginald!
She did me a favor because now I didn't have to listen to her.
But she had to listen to us.
The Ranger rides again!
Mr. Given.
Yes?
And a Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Of the National Electric Signaling Company.
Incorporated.
Given and Walker, is it true that you guys just walked in and took what was given?
Hell yes. Yes.
Mr. Fessenden,
he said.
We will advise you that the money's required to build your laboratory, but...
You must place your inventions in the name of...
The National Electric Signaling Company.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And you signed it.
Well, what was a boy from East Bolton, I mean, Notre Dame de Bolton Lest, supposed to do?
They saw you coming.
And going.
Oh, yeah.
But that money did allow me to set up my first laboratory, where I was determined to prove in the face of all established authorities that my theories were correct. One man against the whole world.
Well, I seem to remember that I was there.
Miss Bent.
Your secretary.
Ethel Gertrude Bent to you.
Did I have you in grade 2 in Rushbrook School?
According to my script, I am supposed to ignore you because as a person I would have found your comments tasteless and vulgar.
Bent by name, bent by nature?
Believe me, I heard them all after working 10 years with Fuss Endon.
What was he like as your boss, Miss Bent?
I would have never used the word boss.
Employer.
I didn't think of him that way. No one did because you didn't work for Fuss Endon.
Please.
It was more like playtime with a self-willed and sometimes bad-tempered child, the things he would say.
Marconi, that macaroni. Have you read the latest? He's got the headlines again because he managed to send the letter S across the Atlantic. Just one way, mind you. And in Morse code. S-H-I-T. Shit!
And just right in now, dated October the 5th, 2006, Marconi's first transmission. Nothing more than a solar eruption, completely dissociated with his mechanism. Dit.
Do you see? Do you see? Nothing more than a fart in the wind. F-A-R-T. Fart.
And we learned to just let him rave until...
Sorry, Miss Bent.
He'd say...
Pardon my French.
And his French was good, me. I know parce qu'il me parle en français au travail.
Coustard mercredi.
You see, dans les cantons, we wear a mardi or a mercredi.
Or a Yates or a Bates.
Topper Yates, my great-grandfather on my mother's side.
I might have guessed.
Gee, I heard all about you.
All of it good?
Didn't call you Topper for nothing.
That's for sure.
Top me up, Joe, top me up.
Caught him drinking the industrial alcohol out of a beaker, remember?
That was the night we did that tune.
That one you got there from Badger Bates from Bacon's Bay?
Take it where you had it last night.
That was Digger Yates' tune.
The Digger from Tommy Phobia.
Got your fiddle me dee?
Got me fiddle me dee.
Away, move here.
We're gonna take it.
Take it.
Take it.
Take it. Take it where you had it last night.
Da diddle da diddle da 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 diddle da diddle da dee. Dit da dee, Marconi, he sent SOS across the sea. It bounced here, it bounced there, never really got anywhere. So he sent out RCA, and it paid off in a great big way.
SOS will save your soul, but RCA has got the dough.
Calling out an SOS, help us, please, we're in distress. The ship went up, the ship went down, the rich got saved, and the poor they drowned.
SOS will save your soul, but RCA has got the dough.
SOS is what you call if you have no help at all. But when you wish upon a star, it makes a difference who you are. You may laugh and think it's funny, but just make sure you got the money. Lost your mammy in the tsunami? Don't waste your breath with SOS.
RCA will save your soul, but only if you got the dough.
Ray.
Me.
That was the tune I played that night of our first broadcast at Cobb Island, 1900.
No, you didn't.
Oh?
You're confusing the 1906 Brant Rock broadcast with the one you did in 1900 Christmas Eve at Cobb Island.
Oh, yeah.
Thiessen was there, remember?
Thiessen! Mr. Thiessen!
Who's Thiessen?
That other guy there, you know?
Thiessen! Mr. Thiessen!
Did Thiessen have a first name?
Well, he had a nickname.
Thiessen the Heesen.
You knew?
I knew what I had to do.
Don't sound like you're on their top 10 there, Thiessen.
Well, I wasn't there to be liked. I was there to put theory into fact.
Mr. Thiessen.
Amplifiers had to be designed and constructed, then redesigned, tuners improved. Interference preventers were invented, along with a whole new vocabulary to describe what really had never been done before.
I've got it figured out.
But nobody else did.
Now, consider the minimum required oscillations. Then, factoring in the thermal conditions, wind velocity, and medium temperature, we will need...
3 radio towers 400 feet high in a broadcasting triangle that covered 100 miles.
Fessenden's Follies.
That's what they called them.
Fessenden's Follies.
Not 1, or 2, or 3. 400 feet high.
Up there in the sky.
Of course, now you see them everywhere, but... Then it was just a total reach into the unknown based on the scribblings of a man whose concepts had been rejected.
Just follow the instructions.
Hey?
Gustav.
Mais Chris.
You're looking at the blueprint upside down.
Either way, Chris. They don't make sense.
That's what they always tell me.
So we started putting down the concrete floor first for the foundation.
And then the tubing.
And the wiring.
Out there, Carlis, in the bush with the bibit.
Sitting up there?
Away.
Away.
Away, the Chris, the shit up there.
On the scaffolding.
Gustav!
What?
Fix the...
What?
And that must have been when you invented the pager.
Pager?
Electronic device you use to keep in contact with your workers.
Oh, that thing I used to buzz my workers on the towers.
Oh, we called it the bug.
Pager. I like that.
The bug?
Yeah, so, the bug.
And me, it was my idea, eh? Telling Reggie there, look, you can send that sound where you want. So send to me. So I don't have to keep going up and down, that case, the collis, that stibois, the scabbard, the ladder.
Scary, too.
All the way up there.
Hello?
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 Fessenden, a big man, big fat man, always climb up the ladder on the inside of the tubing to check out a new kind of aerial we called the umbrella, there at the top, one wet night.
Hey!
Hey?
Hey!
That fat bastard, he got stuck.
I'm stuck!
Lucky he was wearing his bug.
Pager.
Took three of us to pull him out in a thunderstorm.
Too much fried chicken.
He laughed. He did laugh.
Fessenden Follies.
But we weren't laughing a few days later when we tested the towers and the transmission was not received.
The signals keep dying out.
Shit.
La mar.
My sentiments precisely.
I've checked and rechecked the equipment, Mr. Fessenden. The amplifiers, the tuners, and the interference preventers.
No. It's something else. It's something up here, in my head, I haven't found yet.
And he sat down in his favorite swivel chair with his notepad.
Well, back to the mathematics.
And looked up at that portrait he had on the wall of Michael Faraday.
Far, far, far away, Michael, tell me what to do.
Michael Faraday, is that the backup singer for the Stupid Sisters?
Please.
Michael Faraday, born in 1791, the son of a poor blacksmith, who became the first to prove by a series of experiments that electricity was not a material flow at all, but a kind of vibration, like heat or light. Without intending to, Faraday made the first recorded conversion of mechanical into electric energy.
And now, according to my notes, I'm supposed to say, gee, how did he do that?
Well, I happen to have some of my lab apparatus here. I'll show you.
No weapons of mass destruction, right?
No, this will just take a bit of mercury.
That's poison, ain't it?
Just a little, yes.
I don't know about this.
Well, do you want to see this or not?
Do you?
Yes.
Yes.
That's because you don't know what he invented yet.
Shall we?
Yes.
Here we go.
I take a little bit of mercury.
Very little.
I put some in each of these beakers, place this conducting wire in them connected to two cylindrical bar magnets, and...
Fry your fucking brains out.
No, look.
The cylinders are turning.
Holy shit.
Can you imagine? Just imagine Faraday in that pokey little room lit by candles and oil lamps, watching them turn and turn and turn.
The first generator.
Miss Bent, I wouldn't touch that if I
were... Oh, holy Lucretius!
Sparks flying from her fingers.
Look at her hair.
Look at that hair.
I'm the bride of Frankenstein. 10,000 bolts shocked me alive. A bad hair day like you have never seen. Enough to make my creator scream. Kiss me, baby, I'm really yours. A fatal attraction, that's for sure. You loved me little, I loved you long. A bad romance that went all wrong. You thought I'd be your slave, but you're the one that's going to pay. Electricity does the trick, but only when I pull the switch. Ring, 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 does the bell. Michael Faraday, go to hell!
I warned you guys.
My hair.
Miss Bent.
I feel tingling all over.
Miss Bent, did you notice?
Notice?
All that time you were screaming, that screech, that constant scream!
And that's when it hit him.
Holy Lucretius. Thiessen! Mr. Thiessen!
He said, and then told me something I already knew.
Frequency above audibility is what we need, but in order to produce the required frequency, we will have to build an alternating current generator powerful enough to create the carrier waves we need to broadcast human voice.
And I said...
Yeah, you're fucking lying.
How is that possible?
The amplifiers for increasing the signal strength must be redesigned.
Are you taking this down, Miss Bent?
Yes.
The tuners improved, the interference brought to a higher level of perfection.
Yes.
And see if we can't get this thing sparking the way it should.
But we were already at the maximum rate of rotation that the bearings would tolerate.
Tell me something I don't know, Thiessen.
And we tore that generator apart.
Clunk. Try it again.
and put it together over
plunk.
And over
plunk.
And over
plunk.
Until finally
Topper there, he gave it a kick.
Son of a bitch!
And
it started to spin. We actually got it spinning.
And spinning.
Right across the Atlantic.
Not S as in S-H-I-T or F as in F-A-R-T, but yes, 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 we can hear you loud and clear in Scotland.
Scotland.
My congratulations, Mr. Fessenden.
Yay! Yay! And the boys were strumming up the fiddles when...
1 minute, boys. Wait a minute. I got a telegram here.
What's it say?
God damn it!
C'est quoi, boss?
A telegraph from Mr. Given.
Hello?
And Mr. Walker.
Speaking.
Shit, Lamard!
What'd they say, boss?
Well, they said, and I quote,
Mr. Fessenden?
Stop.
We think your system will work.
Stop.
But we do not want it.
Stop.
We would lose much of our investment in cables.
Stop.
If we were to make the change you suggest.
Stop.
Now, if you can invent something.
Stop.
That will prevent all cables from sending more than 4 words a minute.
Stop.
We will continue your contract.
Stop, stop, stop.
In other words, they were asking Fessy to uninvent what he had already invented.
They are the inventors.
They're the investors. Yeah, I know.
And they can close us down.
I know. And I was planning to say yes to them, but it came out.
No. No.
Sorry.
And 24 hours after, we received the notice, the bailiffs from the National Electric Signaling Company showing up to claim the entire wireless station, from the signaling towers all the way down to the wall socket.
Shit, Lamar!
Oh, Z, don't worry, boss. We'll stop them.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna stop them.
And it says here, you guys went out there and marched up and down, marched armed with shotguns, yelling.
We only take orders from Fessenden.
We only take orders from Fessenden.
But then we were served with a legal notice and we had to back down.
No, we were made to back down.
Shit!
La merde.
Well, what could we do?
You let us down, Reggie.
Let you down?
Because we fight not just for you. We fight for the right to what I'm trying to say. Anybody out there know what I'm trying to say, eh? For the right to say, look, we're the guys that make all these things and pack all these things and ship them and fix them and keep it all running. So we have the right, all of us, toute la gang, to decide what we do with. Huh?
We will be back with the second half of Fessenden's Follies in just a moment. First, though, in the spirit of the holiday, we ask you to remember those who walk in the face of danger to help people in need across the globe. Remember Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, offering medical services in developing and often war-torn countries. Medical practitioners who venture fearlessly to nations in distress, bringing the people there a better life. Today's program is a voluntary fundraiser by our cast and crew to help Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières fight injustice and cruelty. Give what you can to help their worthy effort to bring social and medical relief. Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, make your donation today. Fessenden's Follies is presented by your local community radio station for your entertainment. Community radio needs your ongoing support. Community radio, radio as it should be. Help keep quality radio on your dial. It's listeners like you that make radio worthwhile. And now, we return to Fessenden's Follies.
I believe in the days to come, all the oceans and continents of the world will be bridged by radio, and ships and airplanes will use it to keep touch with one another and with their bases in a more efficient and brighter future, free of poverty and war and all the age-old evils. But meanwhile, we must deal with the world as it is.
Well, that's a joke.
Helen Fessenden.
The only time Fessy ever dealt with the real world was when they turned our electricity off because we didn't pay the bills.
Helen Fessenden, we don't have much on you in my notes, Helen.
I'm not surprised.
Mentions you were born, you died, and in between you seemed to worry a lot.
Well, I wasn't born with this frown on my face. I got it trying to keep a roof over our heads while Fessy tinkered around with his inventions.
The subsurface electronic signaling device.
Yeah, right.
I decided to experiment with underwater signaling and found I could bounce my radio waves off of icebergs miles away. Too late for the Titanic, but just in time for the outbreak of hostilities in 1914.
Ugh. First World War.
The Great War, we called it.
War to end war.
And you offered your goddamn, what do you call it?
Subsurface electronic signaling device.
To the Canadian Minister of Defense, free of charge.
Well, I thought they could use my inventions to shorten the war and save lives.
He thought it was his duty as a citizen.
And so did I.
But I didn't.
You didn't?
My son Kent in a uniform that never looked right on him when he ought to be in school?
Mother?
But no, he never listened to me either, just like his father.
And Kent got a commission as a lieutenant in the Royal Canadian Engineers in the same battalion as Baynard Bates.
From Maswapi.
An elementary Yates.
From Tomophobia.
In the Lost Nation.
Elementary?
The word I couldn't spell in a spelling bee.
Barnyard?
Baynard Bates, so they...
Barnyard, right. And they all signed up to fight for king and country.
Hell, I would have signed anything to get out of Tomophobia.
It was all a big adventure.
A change.
Something we could do with our lives.
Something to do with... Well, maybe I got Elvira Bates pregnant.
Elvira? I thought it was me.
You!
That son of a bitch.
Elvira.
What?
Elvira Bates, just for the record, who was it that got you pregnant?
If it's got squint eyes, we know it's a Bates.
Barnyard Bates.
If it's got a fat head, we'll know it's a Yates.
Elementary Yates.
Leaving me here up the stump.
Do your song, Elvira.
My song?
The Duck That Ate Coatica.
They laugh at me along the street, walking with my big flat feet. Elvira Bates, you're a big disgrace, and hiss and sneer, get out of here. But one fine day they're gonna pay. I'll call his name and he'll come up. The Duck That Ate Coatica. School and the church and city hall, all of them are going to fall. Preacher Jones, he'll munch his bones. He'll eat them all, the short and tall. They'll run and hide and scream and cry, but I'll just smile and walk on by. One fine day, he'll make them pay, the duck that ate Coaticook. So listen to me and take warning. Don't you go around spreading stories, because one fine day I'll have my fun and come back where I started from. Quack, 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 I'll bring my duck. Goodbye, goodbye, Coaticook.
Elvira. Can't blame her for being pissed off, I guess.
Meanwhile, I was spent sending postcards from some place called Flanders where, I mean, you may think that Maswapi or Tomophobia sounds funny, but there they had names like...
Oh, don't even say them.
Pilken.
And Broodsind.
Zonnebeke.
And Fortuin.
Borsing.
And the Huga.
Huga. Kahuga.
And the Psalm.
Psalm. Like the sound of doom itself.
That's when the letters we were getting from Kent began to worry us.
Give us a boom.
Boom!
Poppy.
That's what he called me.
I want to go home.
I want to go home.
I want to go home.
Poppy.
I want to go home.
Poppy.
The whizz-bangs and shrapnel, they whistle and roar. I don't want to go on the top anymore.
I lost another three men yesterday.
With the whiz-bangs and shrapnel.
Two of them from the Lost Nation.
They whistle and roar.
Rummy Bates from Cash Corner.
Oh my.
And you might remember.
I don't want to die.
Tush Yates from Bacon's Bay.
I want to go home.
Well, I don't suppose the world will miss him.
I want to go home.
They never really amounted to much.
I want to go home.
Disposable wastage.
I want to go home.
According to the generals,
I don't want to be in the trenches no more.
But not to themselves.
Where the shrapnel and whiz-bangs whistle and roar.
Everyone is important to themselves.
Oh my.
We don't want to die.
I want to go home.
Poppy?
Give me a boom.
Boom!
We were up near the front repairing telephone lines.
The Alamans would shoot him down and we'd put him up again.
We'd never been that close to the front before.
Oh, you could hear it all right.
Another.
Boom!
You feel it out there at the end of the goddamn wire, right there in this dugout with a single goddamn line running all the way back to headquarters. I don't know how many miles back, all safe and sound.
Never seen one of those big shots out there.
Never seen one of them.
You scared?
I'm scared.
We're all scared.
And boom!
Kaboom!
He...
What?
Wasn't there no more.
My head spinning up in the air.
Big fat head with the helmet still on.
And I started to scream.
The helmet?
And the scream stayed on my face. I mean, a funny smile that never went away.
Lieutenant? You all right?
Meanwhile, me and three other guys are all spread over the goddamn trench wall with a foot here and a hand here and a leg over there and an ear and a finger and...
Two left feet.
And they put them together with my head in a gunny sack and buried it out there. Out there in the mud, and you know what?
What?
You spelled elementary wrong on the goddamn gunny sack.
But they never found your body anyhow.
Two left feet.
You were never gonna meet.
Put him in a sack.
Because he ain't coming back.
To beg, steal, or borrow.
Here today and gone tomorrow. How do you spell?
H-E-L-L.
And I got a letter mailed to me in Kuatikuk.
Elvira.
He said.
I wrote this letter just in case I got killed. So if you read this, I'm dead.
God damn it.
Which means I can't marry you.
Shit.
Sorry about that.
Asshole.
But Barnard told me to tell you he'll marry you if I die.
Drop dead.
Well, we never did get married.
No fucking way.
Because I bought mine at Passchendaele.
Passchendaele.
Piss Yourself, we called it. The Battle of Piss Yourself. Lots of people are getting pissed off.
Something so wrong just can't be right, Poppy. It can't be.
And I remember the feeling of being disappointed in Kent and annoyed because he too was beginning to question the war effort.
Disappointed in Kent?
But I didn't tell him that.
You didn't tell him anything because you were too busy being busy.
You make it sound as if being busy was wrong.
Busy, busy, busy.
Come out with it, Helen.
Too busy for your own son.
Helen.
Don't get me started.
But I did write.
You sent me an Easter greeting and a clipping from a newspaper of a quote from Sir William Osler.
Graduate of McGill in medicine.
And founder of modern medicine.
The kind that charges patients the market price.
Of course.
Who said in the Montreal Star on April the 1st, 1916, Dr. Osler, proud of our empire's work in war.
The war calls for general self-sacrifice that brings out courage and endurance and powerfully develops individual initiative. 4 or 5 months service, if it doesn't kill a man or wound him or infect him, will send him home a different individual and perhaps a better one. Oh, Poppy.
I loved my son.
You're killing us.
Asti.
And finally, someone stood up and said no.
Alphonse Verville.
As a member of the Montreal Plumbers Local 144, Member of Parliament for Hochelaga, denounced the government's plans to pass the Conscription Act 1917, imposing compulsory military service. He said...
You want me to read it out in English?
Yeah.
Is it patriotism to manufacture implements of war at scandalous profits?
No.
Is it patriotism for war profiteers to speculate on food and clothing with thousand dies overseas?
No.
Is it patriotism to put workers in a jail when they protest a war that has brought them nothing but misery?
No.
People there like Rose Anderson from The Point.
Hello?
Rose Henderson from The Point?
Yes.
I have a quote from you in the Montreal Star, July the 14th, 1917, where you're described as a labor militant.
Yes.
You were a labor militant?
Labor militant?
You spoke out against the war?
Which war?
What year is it, Rose?
Is it time for my medication?
Rose, it's 1917, okay?
1917.
You were young then.
I like to dance.
The government is about to pass the Conscription Act because Lord Kitchener is running out of men, and you said...
5'2", eyes of blue...
Rose.
I was always dancing.
Your brother Arthur.
He was killed.
Your brother Patrick.
Paddy.
He died too.
No, he was killed.
And Robert?
Robert? He was my husband.
He was killed too.
And I had to go to work. I had 3 children.
And you said...
I was making uniforms, and the boss wasn't paying us enough. So we went on strike.
And you said?
Our men die abroad and our children starve because of the war profiteers. I've lost every relative except one.
Thank you, Rose.
Would you like to hear a song?
A song.
Arise, you prisoners of starvation.
Yes.
Arise, you wretched of the earth.
I saw them marching toward me.
For justice thunders condemnation.
In the streets.
A better world's in birth.
Thousands of them.
No more traditions' reign shall bind us.
Circling around me.
Arise, ye slaves, no more enthralled.
And I let them go by.
The earth shall rise on new foundations.
I could not take the step.
We have been not, we shall be all.
And they moved past me.
C'est la lutte finale. Levons-nous et demain. L'internationale sera le jour.
And even now I can see myself watching them move further and further away from me, leaving me behind.
That uniform never looked right on him.
That uniform never looked right on you, Kent. What did you do then?
Well, they sent what was left of Kent back to us finally, just before the armistice.
So...
You mean like a basket case?
No, he had all his parts, but...
That smile.
And the eyes.
Shell-shocked, they called it. Shocked.
Like a burnt-out generator, Poppy.
Oh, we'll get you started up again.
He said, but when a boy like him who's never held a gun in his hand, who's never desired the harm of anyone, is given a gun and sent out to kill other boys like him, even for the good of his country, something snaps inside, breaks, and never mends.
Good to be home.
And later, after a nice supper sitting around the Christmas tree, like the good old days, remember, at Cobb Island here in the photograph?
That's me holding Mickums, our cat.
And me.
Miss Bent.
And me.
Topper.
What?
Gustav.
And myself.
Mr. Thiessen, on that day we made history.
1, 2, 3, 4. Is it snowing where you are, Mr. Thiessen? If it is, call me back and let me know.
And then I put down my headphones and picked up my pen and wrote...
This afternoon?
This afternoon.
Here at Cobb Island?
Cobb Island.
Intelligible speech by electronic waves.
Electronic waves.
Has for the first time in world history.
World history.
Been transmitted.
Transmitted.
And I felt the energy flowing through me like Prometheus pulling down the fires of heaven. A giant generator radiating that would bring blessings on all humanity.
Peace on earth.
Goodwill towards men. But it didn't work out that way, did it?
No, it didn't.
If only they had listened to me instead of Marconi.
It wouldn't have made much difference.
What do you mean?
That subsurface electronic signal device you perfected for ships to avoid icebergs? It's being used to guide nuclear warheads they're planning to put up there in space.
The smart bombs?
Yeah, smart bombs. So what you designed to save lives just might end up killing people and their millions.
Well, you can't blame me for how they're using my inventions. Well, you can and you will, but it doesn't mean you're right. It just means they wouldn't let me do it right.
Fessenden never made the New Year's program. His broadcast studio and tower in Brant Rock, just outside of Boston, were destroyed by a fierce Atlantic storm, and Fessenden could never raise the money to redo his success. Meanwhile, the Canadian and British governments funded Marconi's efforts, and at the same time, American industrialists pirated Fessenden's devices. 22 years later, a U.S. court finally ruled on who invented radio and awarded Fessenden $2.5 million in damages and declared him the father of radio.
And now it's Bainyard, the beat Bates, son of the duck that ate Coaticook, opening up all these lines to all you Marzi, Meckerty, Yates, and Bates out there listening to the station in the Lost Nation. But first, a word from our sponsor, Googly Old
Marconi the Fourth. Give us a translation on Marconi there.
Friends and neighbors. Great grandson of the original Marconi. Member of the RCA family. Proud to sponsor a story of one of radio's greatest pioneers, one who made possible. Exciting world of communication we have today. Beaming message of democracy and freedom around the globe. Using products produced by RCA. Ensuing side effects may include loss of intelligence quota, uncontrollable urges to buy useless items, will definitely increase a tendency to believe everything you hear, and in the case of an electronically guided missile, will, if functioning properly, kill you. Have a nice day from RCA.
Been listening to Fessenden's Follies by David Fenario. This production was sponsored by Save Westmount Park, an organization dedicated to preserving one of Canada's major heritage sites as a green space for the community. By Standard Radio, the people who combined Fessenden's Radio, Alex Bell's telephone, Edison's phonograph, and Canadian talent on 51 stations in 29 communities across Canada. By Studio Victor, whose belief that recorded sound has its own unique history has influenced them in dedicating their time, talent, and energy to this production. And lastly, by the friendly folks at RTS Canada. All our sponsors can be accessed by visiting our website at www.fessenden.ca. Fessenden's Follies was written by David Fenario. Today's cast included Sybil Attigold as Miss Brent, Alison Rockbrand as Elvira, Scott Kettles as Kent Fessenden, Barry O'Connell as Elementary Yates, Francis Pellerin as Couchetard, Matt Jones as Barnyard Bates, George Mugius as Fessenden, Dave Fenario as Son of the Duck that Ate Coaticook. Production for radio and film was directed by Alec McLeod. Editing and musical consultant, Patrick Barnard. Mix and sound editor, Raphael Belizaire. Recording technician, Gaetan Pilon. Producer, Hyman Glusty. Special thanks for the Fessenden Follies promo to Matt Shepard and for production assistance to Moz Taylor and Kevin Kahala. Music in today's program, in order of appearance, included O Holy Night, performed by Mathilde Brodeur, Maple Leaf Rag by Scott Joplin, I Want to Go Home by Jim Boys, Barry Coop, and Lester Simpson, Land of Hope and Glory by Midi Fowl, Don't Send Me by George Formby, In Flanders Fields, performed by Romy Slocus, and written by John McCrae and Stan Hilburn, and our theme, Gad a Tea by Steve Gadd and Richard T. This program was recorded before a live audience at Studio Victor in Montreal. We leave you with the following 15 seconds of history. Scientist John Belrose at the Communications Research Center in Ottawa prepared this simulation of Fessenden's first test broadcast using a 5 megahertz spark transmitter and a quarter-wave monopole antenna identical to the radio equipment that Fessenden invented. It was a message to his trusted assistant, Mr. Thiessen. This was the sound that changed the way we communicate.
Hello there. 1, 2, 3, 4. It is snowing where you are, Mr. Thiessen. If it is, telegraph back.
I'm Patrick Barnard, and thanks for listening. Radio is now 100. Happy birthday, radio.
Send out the Army and the Navy. Send out the rank and file. Send out the brave old territorial. They'll face the danger with a smile. Send out the boys of the old brigade who made old England free. Send out me brother, me sister and me mother, but for God's sake don't send me.
We are snow.